No, there is. There's something.
Stop.
Dig it
hey,
out.
You know what? The whining will get cut. Okay? I'm going to go close the door so my kid can sleep. And then I'm going to come back here and we're going to nail this show.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 56 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan, and as always, I am in Tübingen, ice-cold Tübingen, Germany. And with me is...
Adam, from sunny Vancouver.
That's what I hear, man. Plus something.
Yeah, plus 8.
Oh, yeah, minus 14 here.
Yeah, we win.
Yay. Yeah, I think you absolutely win. No question. So what's going on? Episode 56, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Joe DiMaggio.
Big number.
That is. Yep.
It's kind of like, you know, in anniversaries between 56 and, what, 65, they're really not going to matter. So everybody can just come back at episode 65. We have like an important number.
Wow. Are you involved in marketing? Yeah. We're going to phone it in until episode 65 when we break out the big guns.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be our Senior Citizens Day show.
Yeah, between now and then, we're just going to talk about rockets and television.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing important.
Sounds good to me.
Great. No, I think we'll try to fill our days here, buddy.
Okay,
so,
all right.
So what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Same old at, around the Schwartz household. I parent and I do physiotherapy. That's what I do.
What kind of parenting do you do? Okay, you can have a third bowl of Cocoa Puffs, but don't tell mom.
Yeah, that's kind of that's my style of parenting. Now, my style of parenting is be awesome and your kids will respect you. So I'm awesome, therefore I earn respect.
Right.
Yeah. You'll learn that one.
Great. Is that the title of your book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on with you?
I just did a guest spot on Tips from the Top Floor.
Wow, you're like a regular guest.
I've done it a little bit. Well, because we did the behind the scenes video a couple of weeks back.
Yeah,
and then there's a bunch of questions involved. Listeners had questions, and so yeah, we went on the show.
What were the questions? Why was that video so awesome?
Yeah, and well, people assumed you made it. Because it was awesome.
Right.
No, just general video questions and that. So we talked a little bit about that, answered some other listener questions. One thing I did want to mention, and there's no way she's listening, but one of the girl, I think it was a girl who wrote in, basically said that she was intimidated and didn't want to shoot video after listening to some of the stuff I talked about.
Wow, you scared people off of video.
And I feel horrible. I hope I didn't. I hope she's just kidding. And I don't want to be discouraging at all. One of the things I really can't stand is when people who are, you know, in a certain, I don't know, field, we'll call it a field.
Yeah.
Talk really convoluted and confusing about things in order to sound really important and discourage others from doing it.
You don't listen to yourself very often then.
That's the whole purpose of our show and you know it.
You would hate yourself.
I am not going to accept that because I know full well that my analogies are designed to get to everybody. And so that's what we're trying to do is be accessible and encourage people to go out and do it. And basically, like when it comes to movie making especially, there's this whole mythology involved like, oh, you could never. Okay, that weird edit you just heard was due to Skype cutting out. You'd think a transatlantic phone call for free would be a little more simple than that, but I guess not.
Yeah, we're having technical difficulties.
Hard to complain about it because of what is happening is pretty awesome. So, however, that was Skype. My point I was making at the time was that I don't want any of this photography or videography to be scary. There's this whole mythology built up behind it that it's really difficult to do and don't even get involved and don't try. Because they don't want competition, I think. But that's not the right way to look at it. Get in there and start shooting video and pictures. That's it.
Okay. Thanks.
Don't
for
be
the
intimidated.
Pep talk.
Yeah. Go out, win one for the Gipper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what'd you shoot this week?
I shot.
Okay, let's get mine out of the way because yours is going to be a lot more interesting.
Okay. I was just really getting myself geared up. Okay, what did you shoot?
Mostly portraits of my kid.
Okay, anything good?
Yeah, well, she looks like a little boy in some of them, though.
Are those like the old Hudson Bay like sweater that you sent to me?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an impromptu photo session while mom was out. We quickly just plunked her down. She was in a good mood, so she's actually pretty much always in a good mood for the most part.
Yeah.
Except for the time that we call night.
And then not so much.
And then but that's really more mom's problem than mine. But
you do the old roll over in the morning and say, "Hey, sweetie, was she up?"
I don't have to ask; it comes out.
She looks over at you and shakes her head. And was like, yeah, 8 times.
Yeah, plus your snoring helped.
Yeah.
That was the missing link.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for doing that. I think your snoring woke her up. That's what happened. Yeah, did some of that. So we shot I spent most of the last couple of weeks in the edit bay finishing up some video work, so that's really riveting. So I'll talk all about that.
Yeah.
But it's minus 14 out, so what am I taking pictures of?
Snow.
We don't even have that much snow. It was a light dusting, and then this cold snap hit. So, fortunately, there's not tons of snow to deal with.
Okay, well,
awesome.
Let's talk about me.
Let's talk about you. So, you bought a new lens.
I did. Oh, you just spoiled it. You know, this is what Jack and Sarah get so mad about. You can't tell someone else's surprise.
Okay, back that up.
Cut that up. Like, back that right back.
Oh,
up.
I'm not cutting it. I'm not going to cut it out.
Okay. Let me get into the zone. Ask me what's new.
So how's your new lens?
Oh, I'm just gonna cry now. I've been like preparing myself for the last 18 minutes on how I'm gonna use the excited tone in my voice.
Okay. I don't want to step on that. We owe it to the listeners. Okay. So last time, 1, 2, 3. Are you in character?
Yes.
All right, so Adam, how's your new lens?
I got a new lens.
Oh, hey, a new lens.
Yeah, I finally pulled the trigger and I bought the Sigma 30mm that you've been raving so much about. We had a few emails and a few posts, a few Google Plus'd about how much they liked it. And so, yes, I went and bought the Sigma 30mm 1.4 lens. So there
it is. I like how I've been telling you about it for a couple of months. Like, yeah, that's one you should get. I really like mine. I love mine. And you're humming and hawing. And then your boyfriend, Don, says, hey, I love that lens. Oh, I'll get one, Don.
No, that's not how it went. I was
looking
back
on the show
for any reason possible to buy something different than what you had, just because, you know, it's kind of like that scenario where if I let's say I go out and I buy a lens like I just did, and someone asks me what should I buy, the obvious thing is to say what I bought, because you don't want to look like an idiot in the fact that, oh, you bought the wrong one. Oh, don't buy what I bought, because I'm an absolute moron and I bought something that wasn't very good.
Right.
So you're going to obviously. So I was trying, like I was doing my research and trying to find something that I should buy. And turns out your recommendation was good. So you're not a liar.
Not a liar.
Yeah.
No. And actually, if we were, you know, living in the same, not just in the same city, but if we were roommates or something like that, I would say, don't buy that lens.
Right.
Buy something else so we can do some overlap. So, you know,
so we can share.
We can share the lenses or something like that. And so that's what, but since we don't live there and we're not roommates, you know, although that would be a great sort of a bosom buddies kind of scenario.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Why are they dressed like women? No reason.
So they can share lenses.
Just because, yeah. Because guys don't share lenses.
No. No, we don't.
No, that's why you dress up like chicks. Or, sorry, excuse me.
Women.
Yeah. Chicks hate that.
Yeah. They also hate broads.
Well, let's not get too negative here, Adam.
No.
You're making it weird.
Is broads a more negative term than chicks?
Let's move on. So how did you decide on that lens? What was the big factor?
I wanted something wider angle. I wanted because? Something – well, because I find and I use the 50 millimeter 1.8 Canon, and it's I'm using, like we know, a crop sensor, the Rebel T2i. And oftentimes in my house especially where I take lots of pictures, it's too close. So I feel like I can't get back far enough to get everybody or whatever my subject is completely in the frame all the time. So – I wanted something that was a wider angle, so mostly for taking group shots. I do lots of group shots, not on my own family, but other friends asked me to take pictures for them, and often they're group portraits, and I wanted something wider for that purpose. So this seemed to be a nice, I guess, angle to complement what I already had, and it was a very sharp lens. I wanted something sharp, and I wanted, you know, to have the ability to have it go wide open so that I can deal with low light situations if I don't want to use flash.
Those are all good requirements. I think you'll find with the 30. What I found is with the 50, if you're taking pictures of people on a crop sensor, you're getting a lot of nice close ups.
Yes.
But with the 30, you have the option now, like you can basically include quite a bit of the surroundings to sort of give something context.
Definitely.
And that's what I like is to do stuff like that and just, you know, move back a little bit.
And you can still get the nice background blur that that we've come to love so much, or I've come to love so much.
Oh, absolutely.
And and again, a very sharp lens, and you take one parameter out of it, you don't have to worry about zooming in and out, which, you know, getting used to the 50 millimeter, I really like that. I really like just moving back and forth. I kind of know what I'm getting, and once I get used to the lens, it's just automatic. I don't even think about that.
Yeah, there's something really hate to say seductive, that sounds very 80s movies, but awesome. How about that? About not zooming, the simplicity of not being able to zoom. And then, you know, the whole analogy is you zoom with your feet, but I don't even think about zooming. I just think about, like you just said, taking one more variable out to focus on getting good pictures.
Yeah.
And when you hand the camera, do you still hand the camera to your wife after the dropping incident?
I do. I do, and she's a little bit tentative with the new lens, so she hasn't yet. But I have no problem handing it to her.
Yeah. And so when you hand, you know, the camera to your wife, you don't have to worry about, you know, okay, zoom into here, do this. It's just that there it is.
Yeah.
So I like that. That's exactly what I do with my wife. Is I hand her that camera with that lens.
And best part of the new camera and the new lens is Sarah. Lisa did a blog post about this a couple of days ago, but Sarah's really taken a liking to cameras and pictures. And I have a whole host of other cameras, including my previous SLR that I was using just even a couple months ago, the one that had focus issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's my four-year-old's camera now. And she loves it. And I mean, I'm hopefully one day soon going to get her off the automatic settings, but she totes that thing around and takes pictures all over the place with it. And again, her pictures are decent. She knows enough to get composition down, and the auto functions take care of the rest.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got a photographer in the making.
It reminds me of the camera I had when I was five.
Yeah.
It was a big piece of chalk. And the back lane.
Yeah, well, I mean, I figured I had that camera. It was sitting on a shelf. I don't feel right about selling it to anybody because of the issues I know it has. And I figure I've got the kit lens for it anyways. Why not let her have at it? So if she breaks it, well, too bad. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, she'll just buy a new one.
Yeah, exactly. Out of her piggy bank.
That's her move.
Yeah, but so I did also, just to say one more thing, we were talking about the battery for her old little point and shoot, and I did order one, which should be here this next couple of days.
So it'll just be Jack's
third
camera.
Third party battery, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff have you been shooting with your new lens?
Group portraits.
Oh, you should, like, so far you have shot group portraits.
Yeah, I shot some of our family. I shot some with grandparents were over, so did some with them. And then I took it to the hockey rink on the weekend, last weekend, and took a bunch of shots of the kids. And there's a bunch of family at the game, so just took shots in the arena, which is a perfect setting to try out the wider apertures, just because it's a relatively low light situation shooting in the stands. When you shoot at the ice and there's a fair bit more light, but when you're shooting at the family watching the game, you can get some use out of the lower apertures.
And the results?
Results I was really happy with for first go around, and especially in that environment. So yep. I was happy. Lisa posted some of the pictures on the Schwartz Chronicles, so check them out.
Oh, I saw them. They're great. Some of them more moody than others.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I was going for that.
I'm not suggesting you weren't.
Yeah, when you made that comment, I was like, yes, that's what I wanted. I was after moody.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult in there as well. This has nothing to do with the lens, but the white balance, the color temperature is awful, I find. Just the, I don't know what kind of lights they're using, some sort of fluorescent and vapor, sodium.
Yeah, I tried the different white balance settings and nothing was close. So I think I ended up settling on just flash, and then I figured that way they'd all be the same. So I just picked one that seemed, you know, not as horrible as the next, and just figured that way I could just make one correction rather than auto white balance, which was going to change every single time I changed the angle.
Right.
So then that way actually it made my post-production white balancing a little easier.
That'd be a good opportunity for a gray card, but it's one more thing to carry down to the hockey rink.
Yeah.
Great. We'll look forward to hearing more about the photos you shoot with that lens, because I love that lens. So
yeah, I don't figure it'll come off anytime soon.
That's good. Good to hear. Money well spent.
Yep.
So before we go to the photo challenge, I wanted to ask you, did you read more of the Outdoor Photography magazine that Dawn sent us?
I looked at the picture that you were talking about, the coyote picture.
You just about said werewolf.
Yeah, I almost said werewolf. Coyotes and werewolves, in my mind, are the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyways, I looked at that, and I agree, it was a pretty awesome picture, and I read the little write-up on the guy who took the picture, and that's as far as it went for me.
Gotcha. I had to look through most of the magazine, because normally I don't really like photography magazines. Okay. They're usually 99% ads.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way the news cycle goes, they're usually a couple months behind, or they can be a couple months behind on announcements. So stuff you've already read on the web in places. And plus, it's pretty biased. And, you know, like if one company is sponsoring the magazine, they want you to write all about that. On the other hand, this magazine was awesome.
Okay.
I loved it. It was barely any ads. Everything was, the articles were accessible. Not a sponsor, by the way, because this sounds very sponsorish right now.
Yeah.
But I'm glad. And they're Canadian, so that's pretty cool. So
all good things.
I will pick it up again.
I've never seen it for sale in store before.
It's got to be somewhere. Yeah. So they do it four times a year. There's only four issues a year. So I'm going to track it down next time I'm home.
All right, and then you can, like Don, you can email it to me or you can mail it to me.
Yeah. He was saying it was more expensive. Did he tell it on the air or off the air?
I don't remember, but he said, yeah, it was like $13 to send it from Toronto to Vancouver versus what, like $9 to Germany?
Yeah, I think it was like $7 to send it here.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Awesome.
And it got to you twice as fast.
Oh, I don't think so. No. Probably day before. So, okay, macro, fake macro. That's a photo challenge. Let's go back into the photo challenge.
Okay, so let's talk about your picture first.
Last week's, it was suggested by Don, because he's Joe Macro.
Yeah.
And he said there is a process, poor man's macro.
Right.
I don't think he called it that. We call it that in the movie.
No, he did. He called it that.
Did he call it that?
He absolutely called it that, yeah, poor man's macro.
Because it's called, we call something called poor man's process. And I don't know if that's a universal term, but that's what's used in the film industry when you're doing some sort of effect, like when you're driving along in the car and you sort of have lights kind of flickering on the background. Like say you shoot a scene in the garage where the guy's pretending to be driving, and you just kind of flash lights around in the background to make it look like you're on the street.
Right.
That's called poor man's process.
Okay, how is that relevant?
Poor man's macro.
Right. Something else that's called Poor Man. That's where the point of that story was.
So anyways, we shot. So he showed us this little move where you can basically pop your lens off,
yeah,
flip it around, and shoot a macro shot.
Right.
So we did it.
Yes, we did.
It's pretty cool.
It is. I thought it was really cool.
There are some cool things that he didn't say on the show. He told me later. Maybe you read the email. I don't know.
I think I did read one email that was the secret that you're going to allude to here.
Yeah, I wish he'd told me because I had no clue. But first of all, well, I took a couple of sample shots. And I posted one about the baseball last week. And at first I had trouble because you pop the lens off on a Canon and it opens up all the way. So my lens was a 1.4. So that means it was wide open. You got no depth of field. And when you're doing the macro, you're already very, very narrow depth of field. And so I thought, wow, I'd like to get, you know, maybe an F8 or something.
Yeah.
But what I did not know is that by holding down the depth of field preview button, it will stop down your lens. And if you take the lens off at that point, it'll stay locked at F8.
Right.
And that way you can go ahead and do that. But I went the other way. I actually used an FD lens, an older lens that has the aperture on the barrel.
Okay.
And so basically the same effect though. So.
Okay. Yeah, I did the Don trick of the preview button and locking it at the aperture I wanted and then taking it off.
I should have deleted that email so you couldn't do the trick.
I saw that and I was like, oh, sweet. I hadn't even tried yet, so yeah. I would have never figured that out or even known to figure that out unless I read that email. So once in a while, it's good that I read the email.
Yep, I agree. I never would have got that. So let's have a look at mine first. Me first in the gimme gimmies here.
Okay.
I shot a coin.
I see.
Yeah.
It's and riveting.
I shot it. Well, I thought, you know, I would say, hey, this is where I am. I'm in Europe, and we use the euro here. And then I thought, maybe Adam will see it, and then he'll do the loony.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Except I think outside the box, so.
Yeah, that's true. No, I shot a few other things, and I thought, well, I actually want to show something that people, everybody, well, most people can know the scale of, so that when we go in close, they can go, wow, that really is close, because that's a very small item.
Right.
And some of the small items were way too small. And even when I would shoot them, they just looked, it didn't look like what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to shoot something that you could identify.
I shot the inside of a box.
That would be weird, eh? You're thinking outside, but shot the inside?
Yeah.
Man, yeah. That's deep.
Yeah, very deep.
Yeah. So anyways, there's not much more to talk about. I did want to make sure that I shot it almost straight on. So that a good portion of the coin would be in focus.
Right.
Because with the depth of field on the macro, man, is it narrow, hey?
It's super narrow, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, any other time I'm trying to create depth in an image, it's fine. But this case, not so fine. So it's still, even though I tried to shoot it almost straight on, you can still see how it goes out of focus pretty quickly.
Yeah, towards on the left bottom side, of the one. It's quite far out on the left side of the coin.
Yeah.
But still, it's still cool. It's a cool trick.
It is a really cool trick. And I waited, the last thing I'll mention here is I waited till it was nice, a lot of window light coming in.
Yeah.
And I shot this right by the window in order to get enough light because, you know, light is good.
And especially at whatever you were, an F8, right?
Yeah, that one. Oh, that one. Yeah, that one might not have been an F8.
Okay.
Moving on.
My picture.
Let's have a look.
My picture is a macro shot, done in the way you described earlier by, you know, setting the aperture. I used an F8, and locked it with the depth of field preview button on the camera, and then took the 50mm 1.8 off because I wasn't messing around with the new lens. So, and this was actually on Sarah's camera, the XS, because I just got that camera relatively new. I didn't really want to be messing around with my lens turned around backwards and stuff. So I went to the old camera, used the 50mm 1.8 and used a dinky car. So that's one of Jack's dinky cars. I put another picture in the box of the setup. It's just a white piece of paper in behind one of Jack's dinky cars. And I kind of wanted to give a reference point. So I shot the dinky car on the paper with the closest I could focus with the lens on the front ways, the normal way.
Right.
And you can see, well, if you post the picture, they'll see how far away the car actually is. And so how much closer I can get. This is not cropped at all. So that's just the composition of the photo.
Right.
And I really wanted to kind of get the flames in the front of the grill in focus. And then you see that even at an F8, you lose focus really quickly behind that.
Right. Yeah, no, the focus, where did you focus? Like on your
I focused right on the, like the front edge.
Okay, but with your lens, where did you set the focus?
What do you mean?
Did you alter the focus before you flipped the lens around?
No, I just moved the lens forward and back until I got it into focus.
Right. I did that as well, but I set my focus to infinity. I don't know if it matters.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't do it that way. I just moved it until I got what seemed in focus and then took the picture.
I set focus to infinity so that I was assuming I would get, you know, as far away as I could. I had no idea how it works optically.
Yeah.
And then did what you did. I just moved the camera back and forth until I got it in as focused as I wanted it.
Right.
So that's a little move. I think this is a really handy move that it was fun. I shot a bunch of different things with it just for fun.
Me too.
It can be a little bit of a hassle to kind of hold the lens up in the right spot and all that.
And you need a lot of light too. I mean,
yes.
What I found is I think I was using Sarah's camera, so it maxed out at an ISO of 1600.
Yes.
And I was like right under like a lot of light where I had this. And at an F8, I was still getting shutter speeds of, you know, 1/30th, 1/40th of a second. So I manually set it to, I think, 1/40th. And, you know, with this setup and holding the lens backwards and trying to keep the camera still and everything, I mean, it's not easy.
No, it's not. And I was going to mention that you probably had a pretty high ISO because you could see in the windshield of the car is a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad that was your older camera and not your T2i.
Yeah, no, that's the older camera.
Yeah, that makes a little more sense. So if you haven't tried it out there, I fully recommend doing it, especially when it's minus 14 out, like it is here, if I hadn't mentioned 9 times. It's great to shoot around the house with.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. You can shoot
good
stuff.
Good way to kill some time. And I just thought, wow, this is a cool little trick, and I'm sure most people wouldn't have ever known to do this.
I agree. I never heard of it.
There you go.
So there you go. All right. This week's topic, you mentioned it earlier when you bought your new 30mm lens. You mentioned the word crop sensor.
Yeah, that was a lead-in. That was like I was foreshadowing.
Man, you were just doing – that was awesome.
That's what we call pro podcasting, PP.
Yeah. PP, so let's do a real good segue into that.
Okay.
So this week's topic, what is a crop sensor?
I don't know.
Well, you're the one who brought it up, so
yeah. I don't know. I know that it's a smaller sensor than the one that's on your fancy 5D whatever,
right.
Mach 12 camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the thing that flies itself.
That does fly. Yeah, it got me here to Germany, which is nice. Yeah. So, well, when we talk about crops, the crop sensor is a smaller sensor. But when we talk about that, let's back up a bit and talk about what is a full frame. What does that mean?
It's a bigger sensor.
Yeah, but what is bigger? I mean,
it goes back to, you know, you can talk about the film days and, you know, things were done on 35mm film initially. Am I using the right term?
Initially much larger. Like there's large format, there's medium format. There's a lot of different formats in terms of the size of the negative.
Right, but in full frame, we're talking about 35mm by what? By 24? Is that the...
Yeah, well, sort of.
Okay.
So what sort of popularized photography with the masses was what they called 135 film, even though it really is 35mm. What we call 35mm film sort of became the standard.
Right.
And why make it that size? I don't really know. It's just a standard that kind of fit. And the size of it is it's actually 36mm across and 24mm wide.
Okay.
High.
Yeah.
So it's, they call it 35. So that's it. That's what people were taking pictures. That's what you were, if you were taking film pictures, that's what you were taking pictures on for a long time, for the most part.
Okay.
They introduced a bunch of other, you know, different kinds of formats, like a half frame and advanced photo system, which is APS, which shows up nowadays with the crop sensor cameras. That's what they kind of call them.
Yep.
And so basically the benchmark, though, was 35 millimeters. And so when people kind of know focal lengths, like, oh, I'm shooting with a 50 millimeter lens, they know what that kind of looks like on a 35 millimeter film.
Okay, yeah.
So that's really the only reason, the only relevance it has. So when they started making digital cameras, they had to, the sensor is not exactly cheap to make.
Right.
Or so they tell us. That's where we're spending all the money.
Right.
Is they want to make a sensor out of it, and they started making them smaller. In order to get as many people buying cameras as possible, they had to bring the price down. And one spot they did it was the size of the sensor. Just by making it smaller, it was more accessible to people.
I'm with you. I'm still with you.
So that's why it was invented. So the depends on which camera you have. The sensor, instead of being 36, is roughly 24 millimeters across.
Okay, now here's a question for you. So if I buy the bottom of the line digital camera, like this, the simplest one you can get, okay? So I don't know what it is, but the XS is probably not far off, versus buy the highest end crop sensor. Am I getting essentially the exact same sensor?
The same sensor? No. The same physical size? Yes.
Okay, so there's something better about the sensor on my newer camera as opposed to my older camera?
Well, there is. There's the, we you know, we can deal with megapixels, and we can deal with, you know, with how that all works. But at the end of the day, that's a different show.
Okay, I didn't want to complicate things.
Right, and you didn't. You actually, by bringing that up, that's a great point. Is we're not talking about anything to do with that, anything to do with ISO or megapixels or anything like that, because your new one has 18 megapixels. I think.
Yep, it does.
The old one had 10.
Right.
The sensor is the same size, physically the same size.
Okay.
And optically, that's important. That's what we're going to discuss today, is how does it make a difference optically?
So, I can't wait for the answer. Tell me now.
The answer is 7.
Okay, I'm confused.
Well, when you have your round lens on your camera.
Yes.
And it basically creates an image. It creates like a round image.
Okay, yeah. I'm right there.
Your sensor in your camera is rectangular, so it only picks up that middle of that circle.
Okay, yeah.
Okay? And so if it's a 35 millimeter or a full frame, it's going to obviously pick up a larger part of that circle.
Right.
And in order to make it cheaper and the smaller sensor, it's just going to record the middle of that circle.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the only difference that's really happening. That rest of the image still exists.
Right. We're just not recording it.
It's just being thrown onto some, you know, plastic or something.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not really happening quite like that, but you get the idea. And so that's what people talk about when they say crop factor or this lens, this 50 millimeter lens, it's really an 80 millimeter lens.
Based on, I see what you're saying. It really isn't.
No, it isn't. It is actually a 50 millimeter lens.
Yeah.
Because I've heard people say, you know, well, you want to shoot at, you know, 1/100th of a second or 1/80th or 1/100th of a second, because now that you're on a crop sensor, it's going to be difficult to hold still. It's no more difficult to hold still than it is on a full frame camera. It's the same.
Right.
Your focal length does not change.
Right.
So a 50 millimeter, someone's nose on a 50 millimeter lens will look the same as it is on a full frame as it would on a crop sensor.
Right.
That doesn't change.
You just are getting less of the surroundings. It's like, is it kind of like when, you know, we used to get movies and they would be in 4x3 and they basically have just changed the aspect ratio?
That
like
is
just losing the sides?
That is a great analogy. That's exactly what's happening.
You're rubbing off on me with the analogies.
It's been formatted to fit your screen. That's what's happened.
Okay.
But then you get into a whole different pan and scan issue and what goes on there, which was terrible. But we'll stop. We won't go that direction.
Okay.
So what does this mean? Like, so you alluded to it earlier when you said you put your 50 millimeter lens on your crop sensor camera and you just can't see very wide.
Right.
And that's called the field of view. And that's the big difference in these cameras is what's called the field of view, meaning how wide can you see?
Okay.
So people like to dumb it down and say, well, it's the equivalent of an 80 millimeter lens. Well, in terms of field of view, it absolutely is.
Right, yep.
It's roughly the same, which is why I love shooting with my full-frame camera, because you just get more picture.
Yeah.
So there's that. So how do you calculate the difference?
Well, do you want me to answer that, or is that a rhetorical question?
Go ahead and answer.
Well, I think the calculation is based on the sensor, and I think Nikon and Canons are slightly different, right?
Right.
Canon's a 1.6.
Yep.
In terms of the crop factor, is that what you would call it, a crop factor?
Yes.
So take the 50 millimeters and multiply it by 1.6, and so the focal length equivalent would be roughly 85, right?
Roughly, yep.
Yeah.
It'll be 80. It'll be 80, and then on a Nikon, it'll be a 75.
Okay.
Now, those are just kind of rough numbers. I mean, those are correct numbers, but, you know, what does it really mean? Well, not that much. So a little while ago, I wrote a series of blog posts because I'd been kind of thinking about this for a long time because I wanted to buy a full-frame camera for my job. And, you know, I thought about it and ended up wanting to know what was really going on. So I did a series of tests and that. And we'll link to that on the website.
Okay.
If people want to have a read.
I won't link to it, but you will.
I will link to it.
Okay.
And you can read through. And I shot a bunch of different samples about what's going on and try to explain exactly what's going on with crop sensor. And because there's a lot of false information out there. So the big effect it has, we talked about field of view. That's the big difference. If all things are being equal, if we're using a regular lens on a full frame and a small camera, crop sensor, the field of view is the main thing. What about depth of field? That's the one people ask me about a lot. How does it affect the depth of field?
I don't know.
Well, 50 millimeter focal length is still 50 millimeters on either camera.
Okay.
So in all things being equal again, there is no change in depth of field. Depth of field or your bokeh is going to be the same.
Right. You just might see it a little differently because essentially you're zoomed in basically, right?
You're not zoomed in.
No, I guess zoomed in is the wrong term, but yeah. Because it's
no, that's
cropped, you'll be able to notice it more, wouldn't you, on the crop sensor, unless you cropped the image exactly the same.
The depth of field is the same.
But you know both. What I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. Now there'll be more picture for you to see if your camera. Let's say you take the same picture twice. I take a picture of you with my crop sensor and my full frame.
Right.
Okay. Both have the 50 millimeter lens. Both of them are taken from 10 feet away.
Yeah.
The depth of field will be the same in both.
Agreed.
Assuming I leave the, you know, say an f4. Everything else is constant.
Yeah.
Now the one difference is going to be in the full frame. We're just going to see more of the picture.
Right. So what I'm saying is, wouldn't that make it appear as though the depth of field was slightly deeper? Just because when I look at it in an image, in just the exact same image I take, when I crop it, you get more of, like, you're closer to that blurred background. So it might, I mean, maybe it's a slight illusion, but it might appear as a shallower depth of field.
It could be an optical illusion that you're talking about. Because you then have less visual references on the outside of the image.
Right.
That could be what you're describing. But in terms of just science stuff.
Yeah.
Which is how scientists call it.
Yeah, science stuff.
Science stuff. The depth of field is going to be the same.
Okay.
So here's where it gets not the same. In order to make that happen, let's say you're 10 feet away. Now, in order to get the same framing as I would on the full frame, I have to back up a little bit with the crop sensor camera.
Right.
In order to make the exact same frame in both. Now, because my distance has changed.
Then you're going to affect depth of field.
Then the depth of field will change.
Yeah.
So that's where the big difference is. Other than that, all bets are everything's the same.
Okay.
So what does that mean for portraits? Like if you're going to take someone's portrait with a 50 millimeter lens, the way people's features show up on camera are usually pretty good. Like 50 millimeters is a good focal length, I find, for people.
Yeah.
What about 30 millimeters? Is it going to change? Now, because if you have your 30 millimeter on the Canon, which is then the equivalent almost a 50 millimeter lens, right?
Right.
So a 30 mil on the crop sensor is equivalent to a 50 millimeter on the full frame.
Right.
What's going to happen when you take someone's picture?
I don't know. They're going to look good.
They're going to look good. But if you get in too close, you're now taking the picture with a much wider lens.
Right.
So their features are likely going to be somewhat a little bit distorted.
Okay.
So oftentimes when I take someone's portrait, I'd like to go with a much longer lens. And that's what most people do. I shoot with like a 200 millimeters if I can.
But isn't that the big thing about the lenses? And I mean, when I was doing the research on the lenses, it seems to be something that the lenses now are much better at not distorting, and you have to go really wide. You've got to go to the, you know, 18 to kind of 24 millimeter range before things really look distorted.
The technology is much better. I agree.
And they talk about like the, I think they call it barrel distortion. Is that what you're, yep, you're alluding to? Yeah.
And that's true. It's true. It is better. In general, your features are still going to look better on an 85 millimeter lens than they are on a 28 millimeter lens.
Okay.
Yeah. Now it depends. The 30 millimeter lens, I shoot portrait sort of portrait style stuff with it all the time. It just changes how I shoot. I don't get right in and fill the frame with someone's, you know, face.
Right.
Because in order to do that, you have to get in very close, and now you're using a wide-angle lens in close, you're going to get distortion.
Right.
Now, in terms of barrel distortion or other, you know, what the technology is, they're talking about vertical lines stay vertical.
Right.
And so now you can do a test, perhaps. Go ahead and get maybe your lovely wife will sit for you, and you can make a portrait with a 30 mil and one with a 50 mil. And if you frame them both the same, get in tight and frame, make sure they both, you know, just above the eyes to just below the chin.
Yeah.
Take that same shot with both and then compare the two and tell me what you think.
I just might do that.
You just might do that. Hopefully you do that and we'll post those results.
Okay.
And that's where you see a big difference. Now, I end up backing out a little bit and including a little bit of the environment, and from a little bit of a distance, not even a far distance, just a little bit backed out, the effect doesn't really show up.
Okay.
So it's you still made the right purchase if that's what you're wondering.
Well, I'm using it for the most part. I'm going to probably use it to take portraits where I want to include more than just their face, and I probably will, if that's the shot I want, just use the 50 millimeter.
Right.
But I do like the ability to get the whole body of the child in rather than just their head and their shoulders.
Yep. Absolutely. And it's, again, that's one of the reasons it's my favorite lens to mess around with. So now here's the thing with that lens though. Can I use it on my 5D?
I don't think you can.
Okay. That's actually misleading. I can, but it's not going to be good.
Right. And it's built specifically for crop sensors, that lens.
So what does that mean?
I guess they took into consideration the optics of the smaller sensor. I don't know.
That's basically what's happening is when you're using the full frame lenses, the EF lenses in the Canon world,
right?
It's projecting that large circle that we talked about, and you're only using the very center of it. And so it's an expensive lens to make, and it's great because you can use it on the 5D. But if you're only going to use the middle, why bother making the whole lens? Why not just save a few dollars and make a smaller lens to just fill up that small circle?
Right.
And that's what they did. So there's a series of lenses called EFS, S, I'm assuming, stands for small. I don't know.
I think it does.
And your kit lens is an EFS lens.
Right.
It'll only fill up that small frame. And so those ones don't even, they won't even mount on the 5D. Now, the 30 millimeter lens is an EFS lens, except for it actually will mount on my camera, the 5D, but it leaves like a black ring around the outside of the picture. It doesn't fill the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, good or bad, some people want to buy only full frame cameras in case they migrate up to full frame. I didn't see it that way when at the time. When I went to buy my lens, there was a big difference between the price difference between that lens and the equivalent full frame was quite substantial.
Right.
So I didn't worry about it. I bought the crop sensor lens.
Yeah, so. And it really, the way I looked at it is, you know, based on looking at what the cost of that Sigma lens sells for used, I figure if I do end up one day deciding to go to a full frame, I can get 80% of my money back just selling the Sigma if you take care of it as a used lens.
Yeah, if you take care of it,
you end up big market for it.
Renting it for a couple of years for about $100.
Yeah, basically, that's what it comes down to.
Yep. That's what I did too. And then I ended up, I actually tried to sell mine for about a week and then changed my mind and said, you know, I'm going to hang on to this and run with it because I love it. So yeah, that's where it goes. Ultimately, you know, will you ever go full frame? I don't think you will.
I probably won't. I probably won't unless I come into a huge windfall of cash or the money tree I planted in the backyard starts to blossom.
Yes. We'll cross our fingers for that. But that's the thing is I thought about it because I had someone ask on Chris's show the other day, somebody asked about, you know, should he upgrade to a D4? That's the new Nikon coming out.
Yeah,
because he wanted a full frame, and he was shooting with your camera, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
but the D4 is like $6,000+ just for the body,
right?
And so ultimately, is full frame worth the money? That's the question.
I don't know.
I'd say it depends. Probably not. If you read those series of four posts that I did, you'll see my end result was the crop sensor issue is not much. It's much ado about nothing. It is so minor. Like there are little visual effects that you know that you can see, and there are some minor limitations to shooting with a crop sensor. But overall, it is really much ado about nothing. It's not something I would even worry about. If I wasn't making my living doing this and doing the video end of it as well, I don't know if I would have a full frame.
Well, that's good to know. That makes the rest of us feel better about ourselves.
I hope so. See, that's what we talked about early in the show. Don't discourage. Don't try to put yourself on a pedestal like, oh, you would never shoot like this unless you have a full frame, because it's not the case.
Right.
It's not the case, except for a very few areas. The difference is so minute. I do post one example on there where I go crazy with the difference. Instead of being a 1.6 factor, I recreate a 5x crop factor.
Right.
And in that case, you can really see the difference. You can see that, okay, that's where the crop sensor makes a difference. But at 1.6 times, barely there.
Well, that's good to hear.
So don't run out there and buy a full frame camera because you think you should.
Right.
One of the other reasons is, oh, well, it's got better low light performance. That's probably true. You probably won't notice. The technology is getting so good, I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm not. Do I look worried?
I can't see you. Are you worried?
No, I'm not worried.
Okay. So that's it. That's what crop sensors are.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad we understand that. That wasn't sarcastic at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit. You have a challenge for next week?
I do. I have a challenge. Are you ready?
Is it be interesting?
No.
Is
no,
that the challenge?
No, the challenge is, and you kind of alluded to the moodiness of some of the pictures I took at the hockey rink on the weekend, but I was going for that, and I thought this would be a good time to do a challenge where try to take a moody picture. Use light and whatever else you've got at your disposal to create a very moody picture. Or I mean, if you've got a different picture that you want to create, as far as using light to create I'm using mood as the word of choice, but to create an environment that is suggestive of an emotion. How about that?
Okay.
I like dark. I want dark and moody.
I think wintertime's a good time for that.
Yeah. Well.
Good choice. All right.
That's it. That's moody. Moody pictures.
Port Moody or Moody Blues. I might go one of those ways.
Yeah.
Find out.
Okay.
Yeah. That's excellent. All right. Well, where can people find your moody photos?
SchwartzChronicles.com. They're not all moody, just a couple of moody. See if you can pick out which are the moody ones.
See if you can pick out. One of them, I almost phoned the police. You're going to want to get down to the arena real quick. There's
something
a guy
bad is going to happen.
Oh, that guy is moody. Yeah, in public. Yeah. Everybody else is having fun with the new camera lens, but that one guy, wow.
You know what? I asked him to pose for that because the first view that I took of the man in question, my brother-in-law, he was being kind of goofy. And then I said, no, don't look at me. Just, you know, really get into character. And then that's what he came up with.
What was he being goofy about?
He's not someone who ever smiles for a picture. He always kind of has to make a silly face, eyebrow up, I don't know, something like that.
Eyebrow up, that's his duck face.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Good point. Yeah, see, that's what I like about the 30mm lens, because that's why I asked, is because you can just be inconspicuous with it. You can kind of hang out and then be ready, and as soon as he's not paying attention, you can snap a photo of somebody.
I did just that.
And use that for good purposes only. Don't do that weird on the subway or something. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying with people that you know, you can you can just be hit and run like that and get candid shots. Because you're right. Well, so many people nowadays are very camera aware. You know, as soon as the camera's on them, it's always this kind of weird face, and this built-in realization that your whole life's going to be on YouTube or Facebook or something. So you always want to be prepped. So it's tough to get candids.
Yeah. So, I hear you. Where can we find your stuff?
I got some more stuff to rattle on about. Just kidding. My kid's
trying. We're trying to keep this under 58 minutes.
Yeah. My kid's crying. I'm going to go sort her out. So you can find my stuff at alanattridge.com, and the two of us are at twohosers.com. The new site is up. I think I mentioned it last week, did I?
Yep.
The new site is up.
Check it out.
Check out the bio pictures. I'm particularly proud of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look outrageously handsome, so.
Well, that's more you than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So check that out. We're Two Hosers on the Twitter and the Google Plus and all that. But you can find everything you need to know at twohosers.com. So that means until next week, get out there, make better photos.